Minisode 23 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, before I begin today, I want to thank our sponsors. CME Group, Trading Technologies, and Top Step Trader. Now today I spoke with Jeff Davis, an independent futures trader. Jeff and I had a fascinating discussion on cycles and indicators. Jeff explains to us why it is important to quantify things about your indicators. We talked about focusing more on trade management versus entry signals. We chatted about how disruption is a slow process, and things that used to work may not work again. Finally, Jeff gives traders his best advice for those that are working on building their own strategy. As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for having me back. Good to talk with you again.
Long time no see, buddy. We were just playing golf just a couple of days ago out here in Naples, Florida. Glad you could join me.
Yes, and it was awesome meeting you in person. It was definitely my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it was great to have you. And it was funny, we talked a little bit on Twitter. I love meeting traders in person. It's one of the great things about me doing Futures Radio Show is getting the opportunity to meet so many different people. And I think obviously Twitter provides that to us as well, but I get a chance to talk to everybody and get to know a lot of great people in the industry. And we've known each other for a couple of years online, but when we met and we started to hang out, it's like we've known each other for 20 years.
Exactly. That was awesome about it. I felt exactly the same way. It was like, wow, I felt just like I'd known Anthony. Like, you know, I was hanging out with him last week and the week before, and it was cool. It was awesome. I love that. Yeah. I agree. Making friends on Twitter online. I've got plenty of people I've been in contact with for years in that, and slowly but surely I'm checking them off and meeting everybody. And so far, everybody I've met, it's just been awesome. And I look forward to meeting, you know, other people that I've had, you know, relationships with through online and social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we were talking about when we were driving around in our cart chasing our shots, Jeff, was understanding cycles. And you and I have both written indicators. And we both agree that in certain types of markets, in certain cycles, our indicators work better than they would in other types of markets and other types of cycles. So I want to start off by continuing that discussion because you have really strong feelings on that. So let's start talking about that a bit.
Okay. Well, yes. You have an indicator. I have an indicator. One of the things that I think everybody, especially if you're going to be systematic in any form, you have to understand the cycles of your indicator. I like to call it plus value and minus value. Where, in what regime, what portion of market, what type of market is, what type of day is my indicator going to give me better value versus days where it may be okay, but it's a little bit minus value. This is the regime where it tends to not be so as accurate. And I think that's something that you have to really understand. There is no such thing in the markets as a signal that's just going to have the same results and the same accountability to what you want it to have through everything. It's not going to happen. So, you know, I look at the markets as a roller coaster that's yet to be built. You don't know how high the humps are going to be, how long the valleys, you know, how steep, how shallow the slopes are going to be, nothing. And your indicator kind of has got to manage through all that. And you need to know those cycles.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And on Twitter the other day, I mentioned that if you don't know the weaknesses in your strategy, then you don't have a strategy, because I know from my strategy, it works better in markets that there's rotation. When I see runaway bull or bear markets, my strategy does not work as well. It's much more of a reversion to the mean strategy than it is catching a trend. You know, I don't jump buy on highs. I don't go in and sell on lows. I buy pullbacks. I sell rallies. So I know right away when I see a big move in the market going one direction, typically I tend to stay away. Now, talk to us about what you had to go through to learn about your strategy.
At one point, it was just having to see more of it. You know, you develop this indicator, and my indicator couldn't, it wasn't using regular TA, so I couldn't just back test. I had to build a whole back testing system. So at first, you're trying to make, you know, you're trying to quantify things off of very little data as you're getting the data. And that was it. And it had to be just take some patience and start to notice things and wait it out almost to get more data to understand what was truly happening. Now, 5 years in, you know, I have that much more data and understand the cycles and that. And I agree with you. You have to know the weakness. You'll learn that in, you go into the hedge fund world, you're trying to raise money. The questions that are going to get asked of you are all designed to, you know, what are you going to do when your strategy isn't working so well? You know, and what you want to do is you want to show them this beautiful back test that you have that just shows a P&L curve going from lower left to upper right. And they look and go, no, forget about that. We don't care about that. We want to know when the, you know, stuff hits the fan, how are you going to act? What do you do? What's your, you know, that's the crux of it. And you don't want to be in a position where it's just crickets at the other side of the table, right? And that's one thing I think where retail traders fail a lot. They're sitting home and their little thing and that, and they're not managing money for anybody. But if they thought about it like they were trying to get funded and they had to answer these questions, they'd be much better. They would understand why they're doing what they're doing in a lot better respect. And I think that was, you know, that was just so helpful to me, sitting across from a $9 billion fund of funds. And they say, you know, Jeff, you guys, when this happens, what about, and you just got crickets and you walk out of there and you say, that'll never happen again. That's the truth to the matter. Learn the hard way. Walk out embarrassed and say, that will never happen again, and go to work.
You made a very important point, and I think that all new traders really need to understand this, is that time is very important. You're not going to build a strategy that you like and that works for you in a short period of time and completely know it and understand it. I built mine close to 15 years ago, and I have gone through so many different market cycles that I have learned something about my strategy every year. Probably every quarter I learned something about it. And I wanted to build a strategy that allowed me to constantly be learning about it, not something that's just always giving me black and white, you know, buy here or sell here. That's not the way I believe in trading. I believe that an entry signal is just an area, like you actually said this to me, is a spot to get exposure. And I said, I believe in a range of execution. I can't be held by one price. So I like to look at things and say, this is an area to take a look at being long. This is an area to take a look at being short, and having, you know, consistent reasoning behind it, and then going from there. So talk to the new traders, and I know even the advanced traders out there that are trying to build their own strategies. Talk to them about how you believe in quantifying things about your indicator.
Understanding, you know, track a lot of stuff. The more you track, I think the better you're going to understand it. But if you don't track anything, you don't have that data to go back to. Like, you get a signal. Let's say you get a signal at 11:30 in the morning versus a signal that comes at 2:15 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. Is that going to affect the efficacy of your signal? How are you going to manage it afterwards? And a lot of people don't do that. Day a week, part of the month. You know, these are different things. Relative volume on the day. How does that affect your signals? Have you even thought about that? Have you even looked at it? That's the kind of stuff, figure out. And I'm going to agree with you 110% on what you said. Some of it's going to take time, and you're going to have to realize that it's going to take you a little bit of time with what you develop to understand it and go through these things to say, I didn't think that was going to matter, but I'm starting to see that that matters. Let me get to work on that. And after you get that time in and you start to do this work, then it starts to become, I'm like you, my strategy has morphed in that, but it's to the point now where I spend a lot of time more on where I can really exploit its positive things, the strengths of it, and leverage that versus worrying about, is it going to work or it's not going to work? because you, like you said, we understand where our weaknesses are, and I'm not leveraging up when it's in a weak spot, am I? But when I now focus is on, where's this thing strong? Where does it tell me really good information? And when I get that, how can I exploit it and leverage this knowledge and use this to make the most I can possibly make?
I learned that if I trade the same contract size on every single position, then I was basically risking more than if I were to trade, know when to trade small, know when to trade big, and know when not to trade. Because there are certain moments in my strategy where I felt I should be trading bigger because the amount of price risk was less, so I could trade bigger. There are moments when the price risk was wider and I should have been trading smaller, meaning like my stop was further from where I was looking to get exposure. And then also times where I'm like, look, this is just, there's too many different things happening right now. I should just not be trading. And I think that that's one of the things that you really need to understand about yourself and your strategy. Do you trade the same position size on every single trade?
I don't even use the same product anymore on every single trade. In certain trades, exactly what you said, where I feel like, wow, this is a little harder. I don't want to have this size on. I need a little more room or something. I may go to an option. That's where a lot of my exploiting and leveraging has led over the last year, is where, you know, like you said, there's times I want to be bigger. Well, guess what? Sometimes by using a different product off from my same signal, because I trade the ES, so it's correlated. I could trade volatility products. You know, I have a lot of, with the correlation that off of the SPY, the ES, all that, I have a lot of choices. And I'm starting to get better and understand where I can use these choices. And sometimes, guess what, Anthony? I can get bigger without even taking on any more risk. My gains will be bigger, but my risk is actually the same as what it was if I was just taking a futures trade. So that's when you really are starting to understand it. It's, yes, your size is, you know, always going to be a little bit different. You're, you know, that's it. That's why I say get exposure. You know, I want to know two questions then. How much exposure am I getting and where am I scaling? And some people say, oh, why are you always scaling? Because I like to get in a position of strength. Why? Because after I'm in the trade, that's when I make the most money. And when I get in that position of strength, I have a better chance of managing the trade better. I can sit and wait for my targets. I can wait for my quantified information to take over and play out. I'm not looking to think. I can look at the DOM and I'm going to figure something out. I can just let my work that I've done off the screen play out and sit there and go with it. But I got to get in that position of strength.
Now, we're talking about a lot of technical analysis here. A couple questions. Number one, do you use any kind of fundamental analysis? And number two, talk to us, and we're not asking for the whole secret sauce here, but talk to us a little bit about how your indicator works.
My indicator is pretty simple. I just believe that it takes selling pressure in order for prices to go down. So I just worry about selling pressure and buying pressure. As for fundamentals, no, I'm reading the whole S&P 500. Worried more about market structure. When I say market structure, I mean things that are inherent in the market that have to do with what big managed money does. You know, first of the month inflows, Fed meeting in 2 days, jobs report in 3 days, these things. They have effects on the market, and I've brought those into what I'm doing, and that'll depend on holding times and exposure, different things like that. That's the only fundamental stuff that I'll go into, calendar anomalies, things like that. Everything else is the same setup all the time. Same signal, same setup.
But you said you're just looking at selling pressure. Dig in a little bit deeper and explain that to everybody.
Selling pressure rises, I figure prices are going to be going down. Selling pressure starts to lessen, I think there's a possibility this could be a low. That's it.
How are you determining the selling pressure?
That's what my algorithm does. That gives me my indicator. Built an algorithm that's tape reading the whole S&P 500 at the same time.
So it's taking in readings
stock information.
All 500 stocks.
Yes. In three different ways now.
In three different ways. So you're not looking at what the futures volume is doing.
No. don't even look at a futures, Dom. I'll understand what the futures volume is only when the day starts, just to see how we're running, because that can tell me the type of day we're in for.
But you execute all through futures.
Yes. Yeah. Futures and options on futures.
And options on futures. I'd like for you to take us through a situation where you said that you're not using fundamental analysis, but you are looking at Fed meetings and certain things that you are seeing in the market that are coming up that you can anticipate possibly how the market action may be. Take us through a recent trade example using both that analysis and a technical look that you got, and talk us through how you got into a trade.
Okay, let's say it's 3 days before a Fed meeting, and we're getting some good selling pressure. Well, when I get exposure then, I'm looking at that exposure for two parts, knowing there's a Fed meeting coming up in 3 days. That if this can hold this level, I'm going to scale the first part, and the second part is going to be looking to be held for more than a day. As we get closer to the Fed meeting, in my experience, Fed meetings very rarely cause down moves. There's nothing that's 100%. It'll happen once in a while, but for the most part, markets like to respond to the Fed. The Fed is there to guide the banks, pretty much. If the banks are going up, markets are going up. Shorts tend to cover in front of the Fed. They don't want to be there, anybody that's been around the markets. Guess what happens? Volume lightens up, volatility goes away, and what's price do? Float up. I'm still holding on my long right in front of the Fed. There's many different things that happens. It's being aware of it, it's incorporating it, and then it's actually executing on it. Many people are aware of it. Many people come to it afterwards, like, oh, I forgot it was the Fed day. That's the thing. It's being prepared each day. When a signal's coming, knowing what's coming up on the calendar, knowing market structure.
So just to go back and discuss that, you have an indicator that's determining selling pressure coming into a Fed meeting. You believe that Fed meetings typically are bullish because of what we've seen from QE and the Fed. So you take an opportunity of when you see, let's call it, you know, extreme selling pressure on your indicator, and then you use that as a buying opportunity. Is that accurate?
It doesn't have to be extreme selling pressure either.
It doesn't.
It can just be, you know, rather than no selling pressure, maybe no selling pressure, and I'm buying weakness and buying pressure then.
Okay.
There's no selling pressure. Prices are going up. Now the buying pressure rolls over and dips. And, you know, when I see that stabilize, now I'm getting long.
How are you determining where you're wrong? And then talk to us about where your targets are to cover that position.
Targets are quantified, and a lot of them are done by time. You know, a lot of day trades are we're exiting after this time in the day. Data tells us to hold all day. What can take me out of the trade? Selling pressure going back up, reaching a certain level, can exit the trade. Or goes right against me right away. Well, I have a stop there. I can tell you right now, it's not a 2 or 3 point stop, though. For the most part, I believe most algos that operate intraday are built to go against, push around the active day trader. And if you're coming in and trying to build a system trading with 2 point stops, I'm going to say to you, good luck with that. You might, in my opinion, you're just dressing up with a target on you, and you're going to be a bullseye for a lot of algos out there. That's it. All my exits are quantified. Stops are outside the noise, and the only thing that can take me out in between is a resumption of selling pressure.
So getting into a trade, you don't have a hard stop. Is that true?
I have what I call a thinking stop, meaning it's very wide. It lets me get my exposure. The stop is away. And the way I look at things, it shouldn't play out instantly in my favor. It's got to have some room. So I have a stop that I'm used to, that I can handle, that's away from the market, that allows me to just sit back and think now. And then the next decision is, where do I take my scale? That's it. For the most part, where I take my scale depends on what the context of that day is. And it's not a huge difference, but I get the scale pretty quick.
Now, to me, hearing you talk about using a selling pressure indicator for your entries, are you getting short ever? To me, it sounds like you're trading S&P, but you're only looking to buy dips.
Exactly. Yes, I buy weakness.
So you're only buying weakness.
Comes and, yes, pretty much. Sometimes my weakness, though, could be what others are determining as strength. Let's say we open on a gap up and we go up, and then we pull back a little bit, and everybody still thinks the market should come down to fill that gap, and I'm looking at it as weakness. It's registering good selling pressure. I'm buying.
So I guess a lot of people out there listening are probably saying, well, what do you do in a bear market?
In a bear market? The exact same thing, but rules are different on the targets.
How would you determine that we're in a bear market? Because obviously on the way down, we could have a 10, 20% plus correction in the S&P that finally takes us into a bear market. And along that way, maybe you could be potentially getting really chopped up. How are you identifying that your strategy, we talked about this a little while ago, that maybe this is a weakness when all of a sudden we start having a lot of weakness in the market and we're not getting responses? How are you identifying that maybe you should be laying off buying dips then?
Relative volume, average bar change, pretty much. My own, average bar change is my own intraday volatility measure. That's it. So when that hits a certain level, that tells me then rules change. That's it. Same setup, different rules, and different holding periods. In one regime, I will hold. I will take options and options on futures and be holding them. I will keep exposure overnight because the market goes through periods where it just doesn't really want to pay day traders a lot, right? You're forced to have to hold overnight. So I hold overnight. In another regime, when the market is puking in the overnight, I don't want to have that exposure. There's plenty of movement just during the day.
What is something that would make you trigger going to options versus being in outright futures?
Thin book. You want to trade size and then the book gets really thin. Let's take, for example, just before we played golf the other day was the Trump going to get impeached headline from ABC that was then recanted. The book had 40s in it and 60s in the ES at each tick level. When we were, going down, I want to get exposure there. I will do smaller size in the futures because the book is so thin. So I don't actually know if I get stopped where I'm going to get out on that. So it makes sense to take it in options then. Yes, the IV will be elevated, but I already understand that. I know it. So, and it's already planned when we get those kind of stages. We got 30 points below VWAP. I'm getting exposure. That's it.
We also talked about how disruption is a really slow process, and there are a lot of things that used to work that do not work now. I mean, I've had many conversations with you, not just when we were playing golf, but on Twitter, in chat, and we have seen so many people, Jeff, talk about things that used to happen in the past that they're seeing happening now that were very similar, and they're expecting that same type of response. And I constantly tell people it's just not that easy. You can't hang your hat on something that used to work now. I'd sleep a lot better if that was the case, because believe me, I've been through a lot of changes over the 18 years I've been trading the E-mini S&P. And you and I, we try to tell all these other traders that, look it, you have to have your strategy. Just because something worked before or you see something that's happened in the past is similar to what's happening now does not mean it's going to continue to work. And a lot of traders are struggling, Jeff, because they are seeing things that used to work that can't. Talk to us about that and how you are constantly adapting to the changing markets.
Well, this is one of the reasons I went more systematic and track everything, because then I have a chance of knowing if the market is changing some rather than being discretionary. When I was totally discretionary, anytime I got in a little funk or a little drawdown period, the first thing I was looking at was me in the mirror. Is it me? Is there something going on in my life? Is there some problem from, just nagging at me? Is there something with me? I would never think it's just the market right away, right? Because everything depends on you as a discretionary trader. As a systematic trader, boy, I'm tracking everything in the stats I use. I can know if stuff is starting to erode. And that can allow me to make some changes then. And I agree with you. Disruption is happening. It's happening all over because markets are just built not to pay the masses, to pay the few. If everybody was allowed to say, oh, this is what's been working for the last year, and I'm just going to do that, and each other person comes along and stumbles on that and keeps doing it, the market has to change from that because it's not going to allow that mass of money to continually profit. It's going to have to shake them off. And that's it. So what was normal has to become abnormal in the markets at some point. Keep an open mind. You can't get fixed and think I discovered the Holy Grail. This is going to work forever exactly the same way. It's always markets change and everything's going to change. It's not always fast. Sometimes it's a slow process. And how am I going to understand if my stuff is starting to erode some? And that's where, you know, that takes a little work and a little thought process.
That's why I believe reaction is so important. It's why we talk about having a range of execution. I don't go all in at the first price that I'm looking to get into the market, long or short, because I want to see how it reacts to that area. And nowadays in markets, when you see something that was previously working and then it starts to work, I see things happen even quicker, you know, meaning that if it hits an area that I believe it should have a certain response and it starts to happen, then I have to jump in right away. Because if it's reacting the way I believe it should, then the opportunity to me becomes very short amount of time to be able to get in and take advantage of that. If it does something to where I get in and it's not reacting the way I think, I find it hard for me to continue to add to something that's not working. And I typically will probably get out of that trade a little bit earlier. Do you consistently execute the same way because you're saying you're systematic, or are you using some discretion in your execution?
Very little discretion in my execution. Here comes a signal. I have to get exposure. The exposure will vary, and that's about the extent of it. I have a hard time passing over very many signals. There's one type of day where I'll sit on my hands and let some signals go. And that's when all the tourists come to town, and that's it. So when the tourists come to town, I can kind of sniff it out because my algos are showing a certain behavior that they only show on those days versus the price action.
Explain that.
If you're trading pretty much long only, eventually after it works for quite a while and shorts are get ran over constantly like they are nowadays, eventually they're all going to wake up one day and say, you know what, I got to give up this shorting. I'm going to just get long. And then they're all going to join my, you know, on my side, and it's going to get crowded. And guess what? When the whole crowd is long, guess where prices are going? Lower. That's it. So I kind of can sniff out when the price action is saying, oh, hold on here. You know, we're not getting where I want to go. I love empty elevators. That's where the biggest pay comes. When you can buy and step in the elevator when everybody else thinks the elevator's crashing to the ground and you can get in. That's the truth of the matter. When the elevator's full, you're not going very far.
For the traders out there that are trying to build their strategy, new or advanced, we're always constantly looking to get better. What's the best piece of advice you can give those traders that are working on strategies right now?
You figure out something Moneyball. If you're looking at this stuff the same way everybody else is and the way everything is taught, then your odds of getting better than minimum wage are pretty thin. That's the truth. The markets don't pay crowds. And if everything you're doing is you're comfortable because this is what you look around and see everybody is doing, this is what you think everybody's doing, you're going to struggle. You have to figure out somewhere where you're going to have confidence in what you do. And it doesn't mean you have to be a total contrarian, but you have to look at somehow have a different view than what the crowd does, where the crowd is going to decide to make a turn here and you're not, or where the crowd is going to say, we're not turning and you turn. That's it. And you have to be willing to look like a fool at times. That's the truth. I buy dips where people are screaming, you know, where your friends are telling me, oh, but didn't you see the news? And it's like, yeah, I saw the news. I have no idea what's priced in already. Here we go. Selling pressure is getting lower. I'm getting long. That's it. I keep it simple. I'm not smart enough to figure out all that other stuff. And then I go into my management. just keeps it where I can function. I can't, too many things. I've moved away from discretion after all these years in the market, and definitely moved away from technical analysis in most of its forms. Most of the stuff you see out there on Twitter and that are kind of taught, and this is the way you should look at stuff, they're going to keep about a 30% win rate, because the market will never disrupt everything completely. It loves to have people keep trying. So then you got to look at it and say, especially as a day trader, can my 30% win rate pay me enough on the winners? Winners got to be quite a bit bigger than losers on a 30% win rate. And that's where a lot of people fail. You know, they don't see that. It's comfortable. You have to learn how to trade where it's a little uncomfortable and manage your risk. Get your exposure and manage it. That's it. And always take your risk first.
And we'll leave it there, Jeff. Where can people find you on social media, and give us a website to check out?
I just blog every once in a while on Medium, but I'm not that consistent at it. So I don't, that's pretty much it. Just search on medium.com, Shaq48 Trading, and I got some stuff there, and I'm on Twitter, Shaq48 Trading, same thing. There's no other, I don't have any websites or anything like that. So,
well, everybody, you know that I follow Jeff on Twitter, and I talk to him constantly, so I absolutely recommend checking Jeff out on Twitter. He's always up for a good conversation as well. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today. And I look forward to more conversations in golf with you in the future.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for having me again today. And once again, it was awesome to play golf with you. And my trading is better than my golf game. I will leave it at that.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.